You thought you were prepared, but are you really? What if I told you 90% of project managers are making this crucial mistake in their executive communication? Now, ask yourself, do you know that one question your CEO is dying to ask but never will? How about that question your CIO may ask you or your CFO may ask you? Can you confidently predict which slide will make or break your entire presentation? Are you ready to never fear an executive meeting again? If so, you know I'm about to deliver some goodness to you today. You mind if I share a story with you, family? I remember my first presentation to an executive committee, and I walk into the presentation with, and there were other project managers there, and I had a whole bunch of notes and a whole bunch of, you know, just documents as well as, you know, things, talking points on my presentation in the night before. And actually not even the night before, I was just, you know, I was treating it like I was studying for the PMP. And I came in there and I watched as the other project managers before me, because you know the most question that is asked, hey, who wants to go first? Nobody wants to go first, because they want to see what's going to happen. How does the executive respond afterwards? So after the first person went, I went next. And I think I was either second or third. And what I did was I was listening. I was paying more attention to the body language and how the executives were asking questions than I was even the project manager delivering a presentation. I couldn't even tell you what they were talking about, but I was watching them. And so when I got up there to present, the first thing that I realized is that I need to make sure I, as they say, all my ducks in a row. I need to make sure that I could zoom in and zoom out. And we're going to talk about that today. And also, I realized that a lot of times where a lot of project managers go wrong is they lie. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? See, they lie about where the project actually is, because they want to impress upon the executive. But what I was noticing is that the ones that really were just honest about it and then had a solution of how they're going to get it back on track, they appreciated that. And so I made the decision. I said, anytime I'm in an executive meeting, I'm not going to lie. I don't care what comes with it, because you will, at the end of the day, at least respect my integrity instead of me getting up here to impress upon you, which is going to end up coming back to bite me anyway. So I might as well just tell you, as my grandma would say, like it T.I. is. All right, let's jump into these points real quick. Point number one, study successful presentations from your peers. You remember I shared that with you in a brief story that I actually in my real life experience. Other project managers in your organization will have to likely develop communication to the same executive. Here's an actionable tip. See if you can sit in with those project managers' presentations, kind of analyze their approach, how are they structuring their slide. How they're going about talking about the actual presentation. You know, one of the things that I've done and I continue to learn to get better at is I'll build out a whole slide deck. It may be 5 to 10 pages. And then I say, how can I condense all of these 5 to 10 pages in one or two slides? And I'll tell you, family, it's a challenge, because now you're forced to get rid of the fluff. Now you're forced to really keep the main thing, the main thing. Let's move on to point number two. Expect the unexpected in your first presentation. See, this is a lot of things. You know, when I was sharing you the story my first time, if I would have went first, I didn't know what to expect. And even then, even though I went after a couple project managers, I still didn't know really what to expect, because their approach may be different. And also, family, this has to do with a lot of trust as well. If you're new to an organization, or maybe you've gotten promoted, or maybe you're just, you know, I don't know, maybe they wanted called on you to do the presentation and you got X amount of time to prepare. They don't know you. They being the executive. So if they don't know you, there may be a chance that they may not give you that grace, because they really want to see, like, okay, do we got the right resource in place? And if we don't, we may need to make a shift and I need to go talk to that manager. So you're going to have to be, here's an actionable tip. You're going to have to be flexible during your presentation and have additional backup slides and data points that you can quickly access if needed. And also, you want to make sure that you can have, watch this, Fed, a way to pivot if you have to pivot. It's literally basically over-planning. And I would over-plan on purpose because if something comes up unexpectedly, I don't want to be scrambling for certain things. I want to be able to go, all right, just give me 1 minute, boom, hit this particular thing, and boom, it pops up. Because you should know your project better than anybody should. You should know the ins and outs. There shouldn't be a question that is being asked of you if you know your project. Now, again, there's going to be times that you won't know your project because maybe you've just started, maybe it's a month in. And sometimes that takes time. It takes time for you to, because every project, you know the key words, is a temporary endeavor. So you're not going to know everything, but you need to at least know enough. And here's a huge takeaway. When you don't know, this is what I would recommend responding. If a question is asked and you're not sure of it, say, I don't have enough information to answer that accurately. Give me 24 hours and I'll get you an answer. Look what I just did there. First of all, I didn't lose my integrity. I told the truth. I don't know. And then second of all, I gave a timeline. Here's the deliverable. And then you follow that third piece up with, how would you like that communicated? Would you like it communicated via email in a Slack or Teams channel? Or would you like for me to give you a call? Now, imagine somebody said that to you. Do you know how, even and you're not an executive, someone said that, what are you going to do? Hey, absolutely. You know, or they may say, hey, no problem. Just get back to me in the next meeting. All right, let's move on to point number three. Directly ask about presentation preferences. You know, executives often have specific likes and dislikes when it comes to how information is presented. I've had it where executives want multi-pages of a presentation with graphics and numbers and data. And then I also had it where executives say, I need one page. I need to know where we're at. Are there any impediments or roadblocks in the way? And I need to, what is the time? Are we still on schedule to get finished? That's it. Now, if we have any impediment, then I need to know what are the solutions to resolve those. And if you don't have the resolution, then what do you need for me to make it happen? It varies. So I would say it comes with experience because yes, but it also comes with knowing who are you presenting in front of. You know what I always say here, family, learn your audience. There's one way that I can present to a certain audience, and there's another way that I have to present differently to another audience where they may be data-driven. They may want to see numbers. They want to know, you know, how much was planned for in this project as far as from a budgeting standpoint, and then how much was actually spent. And then some others like, I don't even care about that. I need to know, are we going to finish this project on time? Because the customer is calling me directly, and they're asking me, hey, when is your project manager going to finish? So again, you just want to make sure you know your audience when you're doing this. Let's move on to point number four. Tailor your communication style to each executive. Kind of what I touched on last point. Different executives may prefer different communication styles based on their background or role. Here's an actionable tip. Observe how each executive communicates and mirror their style in their interaction with them. Here's an example of how when it says mirroring. If somebody is asking, if you have an executive that you know there's going to ask you a lot of questions, okay, how can I build this into my presentation that I'm answering some of the questions that that this executive is asking? And again, you're not going to learn this overnight. And this is something where each organization has an executive that have their own style. That's what makes them unique. So you will learn, you're not going to get this right away, but although you're not going to get it right away, you need to start documenting. Okay, when I'm in a meeting, the CFO keeps asking me, what is the cost variance between these numbers and why do we spend X amount? Okay, next time we're in a meeting, I'm going to put an additional slide in my deck, and I'm going to put it where after I finish presentation and the questions come up, I'm going to bring this slide up, and then I'm going to have the data and the numbers because that executive loves looking at the numbers and the data. Let's move on to point number five. Be prepared for impromptu hallway updates. You mind if I share a story? And I know I kind of briefly touched on this. I remember, it's one of my actionable tips. It is funny when I was going back looking at this is what I used to do is I would walk, when I'm walking around in the hallway, I would have me a note card of the project status. So basically I would create a mini, don't judge me, family, because I promise you, if you get into this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, and this happens to you, you're going to say, oh man, I'm glad ED told me about that. But yeah, I used to have a little note card and I would write on there exactly where the project is up to date. Anytime. And so I made sure that I carried it with me as I was going to the bathroom, if I was going to get ready to go to lunch, because the executives were right in close proximity of where we were located at. So sometimes you would have to pass them. And what they would say, and they always start off the same way. It would be, oh, how you doing, Edward? Oh, I'm doing well. How are you? I'll say, thank you for asking me. How are you? Oh, great, great. So you're leading the, like he didn't know. Oh, you're leading the, that IT project. How's that coming along? Oh, it's coming along extremely well. And then I'll say, hold on for a moment. I'll go in my pocket. I'll pull out this. And they'll look at me like, oh, this guy's a madman. He's really obsessed. And it really shows that you really care about the thing that you're doing, which is project management. And I would bring out that note card and I would talk through it. And I'm going to tell you this, after probably two or three times, I didn't get stopped anymore. Well, I got stopped, but it wasn't to ask me about the project, because you knew I was prepared at all times. I was ready at all times. And I know it seems like a little being obsessed, but I am obsessed. And when you become obsessive about the thing that you really love, it doesn't matter what people try and test you or try to back you in a corner. And they weren't intentionally doing that. They may have been walking to a meeting and saying, and because that happened to me as well, walking to a meeting and saying, and we just happened to be walking past and say, hey, I'm on my way to this board meeting. I know what the slides and everything I got. I wanted to know, has anything changed on the project? And if so, could you outline them real quick for me? And or they'll say, hey, these are the things that I got. I just want to make sure we're aligning. And I'll bring out that note card. This is what I have here. Are we still on the same page? And they'll be like, oh, yeah, we're good. So again, family, that is a super cheat code. If you're on site, I would carry around this card. I know it may sound weird. It may sound like, oh, I'm just, why should I have to do that? Oh, you don't have to. I'm just telling you, this is the advantage. This is the exceptional project management space. All right, let's move on to point six. Master the art of the executive summary. Ooh, I love me a good executive summary. Especially when you build the executive summary in a way where, one, you're able to answer questions that you're thinking that they ask. And two, if you can mix in a compelling or craft a compelling story that really encapsulate the key messages that you're trying to make. I'll give you a quick example. Here's an example. Like for a quarterly project review, I would say Q3 saw 15% faster delivery times, $2 million in cost saving, but a 5% increase in customer complaints. Key decision needed on additional customer service resource. That right there, family, is a game changer. Let's move on to point number seven. This is my favorite message. If you're new to the episode, anytime I say message, this is something you want to pay attention to. This is something you want to lock into. This is something where if you are doing anything else except listening to my voice right now, you're making a big mistake. I don't care. I love all the other points, but this right here, boy, this right here is so good. I had to get my church on when I had, you know, you drop your arm. But anyway, develop a red flag early warning system. I like to call this the blind theory. And what that means is executive, just like anybody else in life, you don't like getting blindsided, whether you're in a meeting, whether it's email, whether it's in a conversation. So executives appreciate being forewarned about potential issues before they become critical. Again, I call this the blindside theory, or you could just say red flag early warning. So how do you do this? So you want the actionable tip is implement a system to identify and escalate potential problems early, family, and often before the impact of the project outcomes. All right, let's move on to point number eight, and then I'll give you my three closing remarks. You know what? I'm throwing two bonuses again. I'm feeling great. Implement a decision log for executive choices. A decision log, family, is a game changer. Why is this a game changer? Because you're able to keep track of executive decision, which helps maintain accountability and most of all, communication clarity. if an executive say, hey, this is what we're doing, and maybe you're in another meeting and somebody says, hey, who told you that we're going to do this? Well, John said that we're going to, that he agreed that we should do this on this particular date. And you know what most people are going to do. If they feel challenged, well, they'll go back and go talk to John. And then if John says, well, no, I didn't agree. And then they come back to you and say, well, yeah, here it is right here. I took the note and I actually sent the email on the decision. And then you just forward them the email. He's like, oh, yep, you're right. Edward's right. We actually did make that agreement. So again, the actual decision log is going to be useful for you and helpful. First bonus, build relationships with executive assistants. Message, listen, family. One of the things, and it has to be a genuine executive, a genuine relationship. Don't just be trying to misuse people. I always believe in life, there's two pieces here. People either use or misuse. I don't mind being used because we all get used, but when you misuse me, misusing me is not being genuine. Misusing me is just trying to take advantage of me and extract as much value out of me, and you're not giving any value back. And so that's just what it is with using people is that when we are using each other, we're exchanging value for value. So with executive assistants, just don't be trying to just misuse them because you know what this tip I'm about to share with you. Again, executive assistants often have valuable insights into their boss's priority and preferences. They know what their schedule is, especially when you're trying to schedule a meeting because you may be in a hallway and they say, put a meeting on my calendar for this month so we can talk about your project. And they just walk away. And you're like, now I got to coordinate and figure out when this executive is available, when is his direct reports. But long as I can get him there, they'll adjust. So building a relationship with an executive assistant is going to be key. So just, and don't take advantage of this, family, because I'm sharing this with you, because it's important. They are people just like you are. You wouldn't like it if someone took advantage of you in that manner. But build that strong relationship, because I'll tell you, there's been many times I would get a call and say, hey, executive is, John is on his way. Oh, this would be a good time for you to catch him so you can, kind of catch him up real quick before he goes into such and such meeting. Hey, I appreciate that. What you eating for lunch? Oh, I haven't got lunch. Don't worry. It's on me. Just order what you need and I'll take care of it for you. Just like that, family. All right, let's move on to the next one. Be ready to drill down and zoom out. Remember, I talked about this at the beginning. Executive may unexpectedly request more detail in some areas or broader perspective in others. Actionable tip, prepare your presentation in layers. Remember, I was saying have backup slides to the backup slide. So at any point, I would rather be overprepared and use none of the information than underprepared, and then I'm searching for information. I'm searching for answers. We don't want to search. We want to have everything there. So as soon as something is asked, boom, we can go to it. As soon as something, we can pull out a quick slide. So again, you want to make sure that you're ready to dive into any specific features and or progress. Here's my three closing remarks, and I'll send you on your way. Point number one, expect the unexpected in your first presentation. Again, family, you're not going to do well. And the only way you're going to do well is if you already know what to expect. And a lot of times you may not know what to expect. And so because you may not know what to expect, because you may go in there with the same mindset of how you worked at other organizations, and they may not operate that way. And you hope that they don't operate that way because it wouldn't be the same. So just expect the unexpected. Point number two, remember I call this the blind side, basically developing a red flag early warning system. This basically means executives appreciate being forewarned about potential issues before they become critical. And the last and final step, family, is build relationships with the executive assistants. Again, I want to put this caveat, don't misuse them, because again, you wouldn't want to be misused. However, if you build a good relationship with them, they will definitely help you as you can help them out. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. Until next time, you know my motto, you know my slogan. Well, if you don't,